I want to go back to the verse 31 because I believe that it's far broader than just Joash. You see, I don't believe that the Lord is just trying to bring Gideon in. I believe the Lord is working with Israel. He's working with all of His people. And what is the message that Joash brings? Will you plead for Baal? Who is that a word for? That's a word for Israel. Mm-hmm. That's a word for their conscience. Will you save him? He that will plead against him, he should be put to death this morning. What a word for the conscience. Mm-hmm. I'm speaking now of the influence of one man that has gone to 10 men, that has now gone to the winning of his father, the household, and now has expanded, that there is a word that has now gone to all of Israel. And we were brought down to verse 24 then, that God is now free. And it marks the difference in the dispensation that we live in today and the dispensation that was present then. That God, the Spirit of God, came upon men for service for him at that time. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. He blew a trumpet. That's the trumpet of testimony, isn't it? And look at what happened. Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered after him. He sent messengers unto Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali. And they came up to meet them. What an influence. Dear young person, what an influence. How can God use you? One person who is faithful to him. I don't know the limits. I don't know. I know that we're part of a movement today amongst the Church of God that began with just 3 or 4 brothers gathering around the name of the Lord Jesus. And as we bear testimony what it means to gather under Christ, we can say to people, that testimony that began in the 1850s, God has spread that throughout the whole world that we know today. What if people had been 80% obedient? I don't know what the testimony would be. But how thankful we can be for those that have been faithful to what He has called us to.
I think how God is faithful too. He shows him that you're not going to be alone. You know, he blows the trumpet through the energy of the Spirit of God and 32,000 people respond. 33,000 people respond. And so he's showing him, you're not alone in this work. Though you may have thought you've been, and I've been preparing you all this time. But going back to what we've had earlier about influence, you know, these people responded when Gideon blew the trumpet. You know, they knew, here is a man of God who we can follow. And Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. He wasn't looking to raise himself up or to make himself a name or anything like that. But he was following the Lord, and people followed him. And what kind of influence? Again, we go back to that. You know, we've been saying we can have an influence, and we do have an influence on other people. And I wonder if somebody here blew a trumpet, would we recognize in them the leadership that we can say, there is a man of God, I'm going to follow him or her as they follow Christ. May that be a challenge to us here. And how faithful God was to encourage Gideon at this needful time that he had, when he realized that he was not going to be alone against all the Midianites in the mountain.
That would have, but it's
32,000 people responded. So, tremendous response. And here, really, this is a wake-up, I think, to the nation of Israel. It's a wake-up call to them. Where were they before? They were all busy doing something else. But now, when God raises up a man to take leadership, people follow, and it's the right follow.
But Dave, I was also thinking that not only the blowing of the trumpet, because we can blow a trumpet, you know, in any place. But what is the sound of the trumpet? What is the clear message of the trumpet? And I think that that's what's important here. The clarity of the message of the trumpet. You'd remember that trumpets were sounded in Israel for specific purposes. And the trumpeter, which was the priest, had to make sure that the sound of that trumpet was not misleading. Somehow, sometimes we blow trumpets, but they're very misleading. In the clarity that we have here with Gideon's trumpet, what happens is that the message is definitely very clear, and there is the following.
But you see the progress in the life of Gideon. Now, he didn't say, man,
good. My father stood up for me. Now I should have quieted down. I got out of this one, you know. Now I should. I don't want any more trouble. Ah, the man go and blow a trumpet. Because even more havoc here. You see, the progress in the soul of a man that follow God. The first thing was in the wine press. The angel said, you put these things on the rock in that order. Obedience. Nobody was around to watch anything. Then the Lord said, you go and you knock down that altar, you cut down that tree, and you build another altar, and you offer the second bullet. Okay? Here is progress again. He's giving greater responsibility, and he does it. Now we don't hear anything about Gideon from verse 28 and verse 34. His father doing everything. And Gideon is not saying, wow, got rid of this one, got out of this one, man, let me quiet down now. No. He's blowing a trumpet. 32,000 people are responding. Where were they? Where were they? The Midianite was kicking them and doing whatever they want. Where were they? They needed a spark. They needed a man. And here is Gideon is moving from strength to strength. The Lord is giving him ability. And now publicly he's acknowledged. And all of these children of Israel coming to him to join him. Because all of a sudden now it's not his household that's coming against him. You see, as the responsibility increased, the enemies also increase in number. The first was, he's afraid of household. And then, it's the whole city that's coming against him. Now, it's the Midianite, the Amalekite, and the son of the east. And the scripture tells us they were like in numbers as the sand of the sea. I think they were 120 and 15. That's 135,000 people. Now I think I'm right this time. That were gathered against Gideon and these, later on we'll find out, 300 men.
Just to carry on what you were saying, from 28 to 33, how it seemed that he was increasing in strength, I think it has to do with a little what you mentioned before about God's provision, because you mentioned that tree that was really God's provision for the altar, not for some idol. And we saw that throughout the whole rest of the chapter. There was a 7-year-old bullock, and by the time the angel came, he had at least an ephah of flour to offer. Mm-hmm. But the whole burnt offering itself really speaks of God's provision and the Lord Jesus' perfect sacrifice. And because in Leviticus 1, it speaks, the word that always jumps out to me is that everything's in order. The wood's in order, the parts of the bullock is in order, the fat's in order, and we see that phrase again in verse 26. It says, in the ordered place. But what's not mentioned is the source of the fire, which I believe is I believe God provided that source as well. I mean, when Nadab and Abihu offered strange fire, there weren't good results there. So I'm sure that the Lord provided the fire there, and maybe perhaps, you know, and Gideon could definitely see the provision even in the gathering of the Midianites, because it was immediately after. It wasn't random. They might have seen the light during the night. If it's a high place that they were offering things up to Baal, and they see this bright, consuming fire of God, they're not going to smell the smoke or anything. That's the sweet savor to God. But maybe that light even woke up people from the city and made them see Gideon up there. That just everything. Gideon definitely knows God's provision at this point.
He's out of the cave, and the testimony is out of the cave, and everybody knows. They hear the trumpet, they see the altar for the Lord on the high place, and they know that it is for the Lord. Sorry, Matthew.
And you can see, though, that, as you said, Gideon has an understanding of the provision of the Lord, because here now he has 32,000 men with him, and that would seem like, wow, this is a lot of men. I can go win this battle, possibly. The Lord has given me all these things past, so why don't I just go fight? But no, he says, the Lord told me what to do here, and he told me what to do there. So he goes back to the Lord. Twice he goes back to the Lord. And what an exercise of faith it is, that he didn't trust 32,000 men. He didn't trust any amount of men. He put everything up to the Lord. He said, if this fleece is wet when I wake up, then I will believe. And then the next night, the same, the exact opposite of that. But it shows his dependency upon the Lord, and that he trusts nothing in man. It's the exact opposite of what we see in verse 31 there. I think Brother Chuck was talking about where, and Joey, where there's no power in Baal. Whereas in God, that's where the power is. We can't win in and of ourselves. We can't go into a battle. You see it all through Joshua when they went into a battle without praying first. They lost the battle. But when they would march around Jericho 7 times, the walls would just crumble. So you can see complete dependency of Gideon on the Lord here.
I want to bring out what you're saying when we come to power. we need to learn early in our Christian life that the new nature is not power. Mm-hmm. How we need to know that. The new nature is not power. It is that which God has given, whereby the Spirit of God can work through me and through His Word. But if the Spirit of God is quenched, what's going to happen? We're speaking of leadership here a moment ago. And perhaps the Lord has led you to come out of the den or the cave, and you say, I want to be a real influence for Christ when I get home. Well, it's going to be because of the Spirit of God, if there's anything done through us. If there's any little bit of influence that is used for God, it will be because I'm submitted to the Spirit of God. I am reading the Word of God. And I am a brother or a sister who is before God in prayer. None of those things can be left out. And this was the secret of success for Gideon. Now, I will tell you, I wouldn't want to go up against how many?
120 and then 15.
Okay.
Chapter 7, 135.
That's pretty bad odds still when I'm 32,000 against 130-some. But you see, Gideon is realizing it's not me. It's not what I'm going to do. It's what the Lord is going to do. So you brought us on to this part with the fleece. Now, he doesn't ask that God would prove that he is God. We need to see that about the fleece. He's not asking the Lord, Lord, I want you to prove to me that you're really God. He's not saying anything of the kind. But he's saying, I want to confirm before you that I'm in the right pathway. Well, you know, I don't know what others would say of this, but I believe there's often, many times in our lives when we want just to stop quietly before the Lord and say, Lord, I'd like you to give me just a confirmation that I'm in your will, that I'm going as you would lead me.